It's Marketplace Tech for Thursday the 29th. I'm David Brancaccio in New York. Think of life's most embarrassing moments. In school, I remember sharing my supposition that tidal waves were so named because they were big enough to give them a title. Stupid, I know. That fifth grade class roaring with derision still echoes in my ears. Now imagine that embarrassment multiplied thousands of times. At New York University, a technical foul-up meant that hitting reply all to an email sent it to 40,000 people. One guy just wanted to forward the note to his mom. 40,000 recipients. That's like a packed Major League Baseball stadium. It became an email chain so epic it now has a name.
The reply all apocalypse.
Reply plus apocalypse equals what she said.
The reply all apocalypse.
That's Allison McCann, a grad student at NYU, who wrote a story for BuzzFeed on the resulting Mount Everest of messages clogging her inbox. You see, NYU students soon realized that they could pester 40,000 people at once, some asking 40,000 people to borrow a pencil, or if any of the multitude had a copy of the movie Good Burger that they might borrow. Others took the opportunity to criticize the high cost of higher ed, and still others sent angry missives asking students, for the love of Betsy, to stop hitting reply all.
My favorite email on the chain, someone had said, by telling people to stop replying all, you have to reply to all those people, and then you find yourself being one of those very same people you wanted to stop replying all, which just was so funny to me because it was like the most meta reply all.
This gets at a very real email design flaw. While the NYU problem's been fixed, it's easy for any of us to hit reply all without thinking. Farhad Manju of Slate podcasts about digital etiquette.
You should have to kind of jump through hoops to reply to all. Like, it should be not only not the default, but it should be something that, like, the software makes you do several steps because that will give you kind of a moment's pause to decide whether to do it.
Remember, people, emailing is like driving an SUV or confronting a New Jersey brown bear. Sudden moves are not rewarded. Now in 3D, as the movie trailers say. It's our occasional look at the next manufacturing revolution, computer printers that go beyond flat images to squirt out three-dimensional objects. Today, three developments in 3D printing, starting with students at the University of Virginia, who have built and flown a drone made out of parts from a 3D printer. Stephen Easter is an engineering student at UVA. He says it solves one long-time problem for unmanned aircraft enthusiasts.
So the breakage aspect. If you're a hobbyist flying a plane and you break something, you know, you might be up a creek. But in our case, we can just print out the piece that broke and then swap it in, and then we're done.
Apparently the military is interested. Now, what about 3D printing in, not plastic, but wood? Wired magazine notes a mysterious inventor has come up with a wood-based filament for 3D printers. The unnamed inventor is so far guarding his recipe like it's the formula for Coca-Cola, but the resulting objects look a bit like they were sculpted from wood filler putty. And you can go to the Apple Store in New York, the Microsoft Store, too. Now you can go to the 3D printer store. Printer company MakerBot opened one, where you can buy 3D apples and tiny houses. Or instead of the annual holiday card, why not print out and send a 3D version of your head?
This is our 3D photo booth. This is our newest feature of the MakerBot store here in Manhattan. What this does is this prints a 3D image of your head that is printable through our Replicator 2 machine.
MakerBot also has a consumer-level 3D printer that goes for $2,200, but the website lists an 8-week wait due in part to Hurricane Sandy. I'm David Brancaccio, and that's Marketplace Tech. From APM, American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.